Well, hello, queens. We're going to get it on today. Y'all don't know how excited I am to be coaching. Of course, I forgot to spray my hair enough today. Again, I did that on Sunday. I don't know what is up with me and like being allergic to my own damn hairspray. But we're going to do coaching. So you just got to raise your hand if you want to get in line. I'm going to go ahead and call on Kendra. You're the first one with your hand raised. Remote panelists. And Lisa, I'm going to get you promoted. It's just jumping around. Hang on, Lisa. It's going to take me a hot second. I'm so looking forward to coaching y'all, though. I've been in meetings all day. I'm ready to do some coaching and no more taking in information that I need to do something with. Tell me your problems, Kendra. I can't wait.
Oh, my God. I'm glad that you can't wait.
This is the fun part. The whole morning has been just like meeting after meeting and like task after task and decision after decision. I'm going to tell you, I'm ready to coach.
Good. Make decisions for me then.
Let's just talk the weight loss.
I'm going to try to not be like, I feel like I need to update you on some story parts, but I'm going to try to be as fast as I can. I was in a program before this and got really, really close to my the last 10 pounds that I wanted to lose.
Right.
And at some point, actually it was in the last week of the program, I realized that I wasn't gaining the muscle that I thought I should be with the workouts that I was doing. And so I decided to track everything in MyFitnessPal, and it came out with it freaked me out how little I was eating. And so then the program ended, and then I was like, all right, like I need to do something different. This is ridiculous. And so I actually ended up joining a program that teaches like a macros approach.
Okay.
And the only reason why I did that was because I felt like I have healed like so much of my relationship with food. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to just try a different way to get to this very specific physique goal.
Yeah. I think all of that is rock solid. Like there's literally, that's not diet mentality. Can I just clear this up for all the kids in the back who are like, oh Lord, she must be falling into her diet mentality. I don't know if you are or not, but here's what I do want to say. I don't have anything against calories. I don't have anything against macros. When you're doing it at the expense of like ignoring your body, or you are doing it because you think you can't eat any other way, if there's a lot of negativity that goes along with it, then we want to check that mentality. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I'd hired a trainer and I'm like, I need to add 10 pounds of muscle, and they said, I want you to eat the specific things, and then I want you to work out this way, I'd be like, okay. I wouldn't have drama about it. I wouldn't be sitting there going like, but what will I do at night when I feel guilty for putting my kids to bed and I'm just laying there with no food? That would not be Corinne. So Corinne would do just fine on that program.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Yeah, now where so are we at though?
I was entering that in a empowered way. But it fucked me up.
It didn't fuck you out. Here, let me say this.
I love myself.
Macros and stuff. It can't fuck anybody up, and it can't do things to us.
Yeah.
Without our mental consent.
Yeah.
So if the macros fucked you up, here's how I want you to tell. This is how I want you to tell it to me, because then we can really solve the problem.
Okay.
Otherwise, we just quit doing macros and, you know, all the problems are solved. You would have no problems, right? If the macros fuck you up.
Right.
But the problem is that we need to say it this way. When I started doing macros, what I noticed was I started thinking things like this.
Yeah.
And when I started thinking things like this, I started feeling and doing these types of things. So it's not the macros. It's like, where do I want to do my mind management? You may or may not choose to continue macros, knowing the types of thoughts it could trigger, but you may also want to say like, I'd like to stick with macros because I'd like to overcome those kinds of thoughts.
Right.
However you want to do it. So tell me what, just finish your story the way you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I ultimately just decided it definitely wasn't for me. And I gained the 5 pounds that I had lost in the previous program almost immediately. And then ever since then, I joined your program, and then I feel like it's the you said this the other week, I've been dicking around with the same 5 pounds for however many months now. And so at the point that I'm at now, I'm like, all right, I want to return back to what I know that works, which is, really getting clear on my data and like just figuring out like exactly where I'm overeating or doing things that don't feel like future self aligned.
And
so last week I did that every single day. And it was also the week like leading up to my cycle. So there's always a little bit more overeating there, but anyways, my data
there's a death nail thought. If one week out of every month of your life, it's like, well, there's always overeating involved.
Yeah.
Do you want to have overeating involved when you're on your fucking period?
Fuck no, it sucks.
Yeah. So what we need to do is solve, because a period is the big it. It can't make you eat.
Yeah. And
it's another one of those it's that are like, hey, here I am.
Yeah. No, it's like the period gremlin that makes me eat. It's like 3 or 4 days before I bleed that, and I'll just describe it without coach, like unfiltered is, because I'm a coach, so it's hard. Okay. Like I usually try to correct myself and I'm really trying to just like give it to you from the
Give it from our illogical brain.
Right. So the 3 or 4 days before I bleed, it feels like this like hormonal compulsion to eat and feel fuller. Like, it's like, it's almost like my body is like, I need to actually feel fuller than my level.
That's totally true. But you're choosing to eat because of that. All right. Let me ask you this, Kendra.
Right. I'm still choosing.
If you were at the grocery store and there was a dude in front of you and you were in a big hurry and your kid is screaming and he's counting out his payment in pennies. Mm-hmm. What would you have a compulsion to do in that moment?
Slap the fucking pennies off the counter.
Yeah. Say like, my turn, bitch. Now, would you do it?
No.
Right. Because you have actually, and all of us do, we have some semblance of control over ourselves, but we have the problem you're running into just from coach perspective is you're going into it. It's my period. And these things are just happening to me as if I have no control. Like you're setting it up. Like you're telling the story as if it just happens to me every month. And there's like, I'm just noticing and there's nothing I could do about that. Even when you say it always comes with overeating, you're already predicting the story of no control rather than telling the story of every month my period comes. I want to eat until I'm full. I'm wanting to eat certain things and I know that about me. So I need to be prepared because my goal is to lose weight, which means there's probably 3 to 4 days out of each month urges are heavier. So I need to figure out, how do I deal with more intense urges? Like we need to actually solve the problem rather than just witnessing it and rolling along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one thing that actually the Ask Coaches said that I actually really loved was maybe for those couple of days, you actually just portion out your food. Yeah. And I was like, it never crossed my mind because I felt like I'm so far away from like needing to do that. But I was like, that's actually just taking care of myself. I actually really
love it. And you do need to do it. But this is the thing. I do a lot of things I need to do. Like every day, I really need to wash my ass. Otherwise, it's going to be itchy. It's going to stink. No one's going to want to be around me, right? But I don't sit there and be like, is this like a cleanliness compulsion?
Yeah.
You know, like y'all don't worry about the word like I need. It's an indicator to look underneath why you need to. Some of us need to do things and we actually love our reasons for it.
Yeah.
Like you might really love your reasons for portioning out your food around your period. Cause like, I need to do that. I've watched me overeat. I want it to be easier on myself. That is a form of self-care. But if you were saying I need to do it because I'm a lazy fuck who just gives into urges, I have no hope other than to do this. If behind the need is a shitwad story, then we need to really like say like, well, you don't need to, but you may want to choose to. But sometimes y'all don't need to worry. So don't worry so much about overcoaching yourself, but it sounds like you're on track.
Cool. Thank you. Well, that was just within the last few days. So we'll see how it goes applying it.
Why? So let me ask you this. What thought in your head is driving you to be cautious instead of optimistic, to be hesitant instead of all in that this is going to work? I just want you to notice how the second we're like, oh, you're on track and everything, it's like, oh, yeah,
we'll see, let me tell you,
we don't want to get too excited. We're fixing to be disappointed.
Yeah. That I maybe like, I just portion enough that doesn't feel satisfying. And then I have to either sit with the discomfort of not being satisfied or use my brain to justify why it's okay to have a little bit more. And then I break my.
So this is a great question for us because it's not going to be enough to portion. That's why your brain was like, not ready to be all in, but use that as an, all of you, when it's something like that, use it as an indicator, be like, why am I not more excited? Why am I pausing for a just in case? Because if you have a just in case, that means your brain is already thinking like, well, here's the things that are going to go wrong. You're just not even asking. So it's like, now we need a strategy. Like, all right, the food that I portion is likely to not feel like enough. So what will I be telling myself in that moment? So that I'm not just sitting there leaving my brain with only one option to go get more food. Like, I'm going to need that conversation. I'm going to need that strategy too.
Right. And as you're saying this, I'm wondering if I should actually portion it according to what I think will give me that feeling of fullness as an experiment first, because at least then I'm eating what's there. And because the thing that I don't like that I've been doing is I'll have my portion or whatever, and then I'll keep going back to get a little bit more of this, a bite of this, or like picking at leftovers or something as I'm packing things away. And I don't like that feeling. And so I'd rather just like portion an amount that I think will get me full and then just be clean about like putting it away and I'm done. If that makes sense.
But you should try it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it makes sense to me, but like when it comes from your brain and it's like a good idea from you and you're like, I think this might work. Here's all I want to say about it is try it with the promise that if it doesn't, you just need another strategy.
Yeah.
Like it's not that something's wrong with you. It's not that this won't work. It's none of those fatalistic phrases that we use. It's simply, I'm just working on it. And each time I try something, I'll learn a little bit more about me until I got this one thing unraveled. Then I can move to the next thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I like that. And do you mind if I go back to just the other piece that I want? So in like tracking last week, and it was 67%. I have a way of like counting each time that I eat and how it's future self aligned. So my thought was, okay, if that data results in I gained 1 pound, then for this week, my goal is to get like 75%. Does that make sense as a way to like
75% of what?
Eating like future self-aligned.
Do you know specific? So what I would probably do, like you can set a percentage goal if you want to, but before you set a percentage goal, I would look at the, would you say 67%? So that's 33%, 33% of the time, what am I doing that is overeating? Find one thing in there. I'm actually teaching this next month. So we're doing a deep dive assessment month where I'm going to teach y'all how to do a for sure. Like, you're the perfect candidate. It's for the people dicking around with 5 to 10 pounds. It's for everyone's going to use it, but it's really showing you how to truly assess everything we should be looking at. Cause a lot of y'all just assess, like, we use our habit tracker, but you don't really do a lot of deep dive assessing. So we're going to take it up a notch next month. But one of the things I would do is I would find, what is there a pattern inside the 33% of your overeats? You're now going to tackle either the easiest one to overcome, or you're going to tackle the one you think will make the highest impact.
Right.
And I'm going to teach y'all, I think it's either next week or the week after. I'm going to teach y'all that when you pick, either way is fine. If you pick the easiest, I want you to pick the easiest because you feel like it will give you momentum. It doesn't fry out your nervous system and those things. If you pick the one that makes the highest impact, I want you to pick it because you want a big win. You are up for the challenge. Like, you think this will be significant and you feel really good about, like, this one may be harder, but I'm okay with that. Like, I know that I'm going to keep pushing until I get it solved. So we're going to really work next month on not only assessing, but how do you pick things to work on? How do you dial it down to one thing? And then how do you reestablish the trust and confidence in yourself to be the ultimate decision maker around your body?
Right. Yeah.
So I would just look at your 33%. And I would just pick something and just say, like, there's probably a pattern. It's either, a lot of times it's an environment. Sometimes it's specific foods. Sometimes it's certain feelings. Sometimes it's certain times. Like, look for a common denominator and then just find one and be like, all right, this is the first one up on the chopping block. Like, we are going to work on this. I'm going to overcome this one. Because when you overcome one pattern, all of you, y'all are always wanting to fix everything all at once. And then your nervous system goes to hell. And then you talk to yourself, like, you're trying to fix so many things that you are, the more things you try to fix, the more mistakes you open up for yourself, which is great for people that have an amazing self-esteem.
Yeah.
Because they're just always like, you know, Teflon, like, woo, I'm over here juggling like 30 different changes and I'm making small progress and some stuff's not working, but man, I'm figuring it out. Like, if that's you, pick 30 things. But if you're like, I pick 33 things and the first one that goes down is like, oh my God, none of it's going to work. I'm so shitty. I'll never lose weight. If your self-esteem's in the toilet, it's better to pick fewer things so that you, because you're not just working on one thing. You're working on one thing alongside your self-worth, your self-esteem, your self-talk, and your self-confidence. You're working on two things actually. So that's why I always say, like, pick a pattern usually. For most of us are in no BS because we don't come out of the box with a stellar self-esteem.
My box is missing something.
I know. I was like, man, when I got in line, I know I was in the right line when God was handing out self-esteem.
Totally. All right. Yeah. I think that's really good too, because my old way was kind of like, oh, I should be aiming for 100%. But I think what happened was actually going for 100% for me meant actually like under eating and like my thyroid got messed up and my, like, there was like a bunch of things happening. And so it's
not do all that. Like
a lot better for me to actually aim for imperfect, which just feels crazy.
It feels so counterintuitive. And yet, like, if you ever, like, I do a lot of reading and researching of like very successful people and like, not just in business, but just in general. And it is like imperfection is like the goal. And they don't care if something doesn't work. They care if they're not working. Right. And they don't care if things go wrong because they know it's like, in order to finally unlocked the key to success. I have got to try a lot of things. And when you really accept that, you just really understand it, and you're working on your self-concept, you do experience more success in life.
Right.
Perfectionists are like, usually it's rare that you read a book of someone who's extremely successful in life, and they're like, you know, chapter one, how perfectionism really helped me.
Yeah.
It's usually like, I had to overcome that version of me in order to be successful.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think I'd be really curious to see if my numbers end up being 80-20, because I feel like there really is something magical about the 80-20 rule. And yeah, and like, and that goes along the lines of like, even Brooke Castillo's work with like, do B minus work. Like, isn't that right. What an 80% is B minus. So it's like,
I don't remember. I think in my school below an 85 was a C. Oh. So we're doing C work.
Yeah. Yeah, go for C. Anyways.
Most of weight loss literally is like C level work. Like, I don't know where we all, the problem that y'all have is that y'all's A plus, like what y'all think is an A is ridiculous. It's not so much like if y'all would just embrace the idea, like you could be 100%. It's just, we want to be 100% with easy shit. But y'all think I need to be 100%, but your definition of what you need to do is like fucking building a nuclear bomb. It's insane. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, we have to like really watch that. That's why I'd like to tell y'all, like, perfection is just not required, but there's nothing wrong with going for 100% if you don't beat yourself up in the process. I go for 100%.
Right. Or if it's the lifestyle that you want to live too.
Yes. It's all a balance. You just have to, like, this is why I'm trying to teach y'all more about figuring out what you really want and then construct from there versus figuring out what you've been told and then just trying to do that in hopes you'll get what you want.
Right. And I think too, like, and this is something I share with my clients all the time, is if you come from like an eating disorder history, you think that other people are normal with their eating, meaning they're perfect with their eating. And the reality is every single person overeats sometimes. Every single person, no matter how thin that they are. And so it's like to just keep, you know, I don't need 100%.
Thin people eat crap. Does. Thin people have bad days. I've got several really thin friends. And sometimes after a bad day, they have like two glasses of wine. Or they, like, I've got this one friend of mine. We've been friends for like 20 something years. And she cracks me up. If she's had a bad day, you know what her solve is? She goes straight to the store. She's got a favorite brand of Doritos that she likes. And the large bag is her dinner.
Yep.
And she always says, if you see me eating Doritos on the couch, don't talk to me. Like, that's her strategy. But when she eats, like most of her life, she's eating like pretty healthy. She walks and runs about 2 to 3 times a week. She's not an over-exerciser by any means. I mean, like, she'll go on a 22-minute run, and to hear her tell it, you know, she should be in line for the Olympic gold medal. Like, she lives the most boring fucking life. She's always been thin, but we have to normalize normal.
Yeah.
Like, what y'all have is like, y'all have normalized perfection. And most people are not doing that unless they do have a disorder. The only people I ever see always eating healthy and exercising every day and doing that stuff are disordered in their eating. Like, when you talk to them behind the scenes, like, they're like, no, I have to eat that way. Like, there's no other option. Like, they won't eat any other way. And they're like, I would never emotionally eat. And they're not dealing with their emotions. Right. They're just reacting in other ways. You just can't see it on their body.
Right.
So y'all keep that in mind as you're like comparing and despairing and thinking that, you know, thin people are, I don't know what y'all think thin people are doing. I'm like, I know plenty. I want to film some of them out in the wild for y'all.
Yeah. And I remember a really, really pivotal moment for me was when one of my friends, who is just like, I just thought of her as like this normal, perfect eater because of her body. And she one day was like, I'm totally stress eating these cookies. And it like struck me. I was like, oh my God, like she stress eats cookies.
Yeah. Like,
and you can have that body and stress eat cookies. And that can be normal.
Well, so, you know why? Because when she stress eats cookies, she doesn't sit there and tell herself that she's a disaster and that she might as well eat the next thing. And tomorrow she might as well, like, now, because I ate cookies, you know, today I'm just going to lay around. I'm not going to make a plan. I'm not going to, like, most of the time, there are times when, like, this is what it's hard to explain, but I will just say for all of you, we want to be people that can handle our emotions, who we do not rely on food. But that doesn't mean that we don't sometimes do it. It means it's not our only coping mechanism. It's not our default anymore. It's not the thing we do first. Like for me, I still emotionally eat sometimes, but it's very conscious now. There's no beat downs around. It's like sometimes I'm like, I have had just a bad day. I just want to order Uber Eats tonight. I don't want to eat what I planned. And I know it. And I'm like, how are you going to feel about this tomorrow? Like, what can you do? Like, do you need ice cream tonight? If we're going to have some ice cream, like, let's at least get the good ice cream. Let's not just get shit ice cream. Like, there's like deliberateness behind it, but there's not shame. And there's not like, the other thing is there's understanding. It's like, I know I'm just at my window now. Like, it's almost like there's a level of compassion. And so I don't do it very often, because most of the time when I'm having a rough day, I have other things I try first.
Right.
It's very rare that I emotionally eat where I haven't tried at least one or two other strategies, either like unloading. Sometimes I reach out to my coach. Sometimes I unload on Jane. I'll send a text to Jane, but please check your Marco Polo. I just need to talk something out, you know. Just text me back your answer. Sometimes I have this new blanket that I'm doing. Like, I might do my infrared blanket. I'm like, all right, let's lay there for a little bit. Let's try 30 minutes of that. Let's see what happens. And then we can decide. So a lot of times I'm doing things, I'm like, I'm going to try to meet you where you're at. But if we can't, then we'll just do this.
Right.
It's that releasing of all the judgment and expectation that you should never emotionally eat.
Right.
No one else does it but us. We're broken
saying it's souls. Hormonally driven, and I just can't help it.
Yes, exactly.
So, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye, Kendra. All right. Jessica. Linda has a weighted blanket. We had those for a little while. I've now like switched over to my, it's called Higher Dose. On it says get naturally high. I've been laying in that thing. I love that thing. Hello, Jessica. What are we coaching on?
Hi. So I want to get coached on a recent regain. So last month I got coached on dicking around with the same 5 pounds. I can't remember if it was this call or the elder call. And the next best, you know, action for me was to, cause I was, overeating at night, I think, or not waiting for hunger at night. I was doing night eating. And then I was realized that I was ignoring my emotions, trying to get soothed back to sleep. So I was spending time.
Okay, I remember this.
Yeah. Journaling about the emotions that, or the thoughts that, I was trying to ignore at night. So I started doing that, and it was very helpful. I was still maintaining, because I think I wasn't night eating, but I was still like doing some overeating. But now in the last couple of weeks, I have regained. So I'm like up 7 pounds.
7 pounds in 2 weeks?
Well, no, like, well, yeah, I guess it's like the third week of June. So like 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay. 7 pounds, 3 weeks. So that's about 3 pounds per week, or actually 2.5, something like that.
And so recently I'm currently traveling to visit my family on the West Coast, and on the plane, I got really sick, passed out, all the things. Oh, nice. And I think that has kind of been the new emotion that I'm ignoring, but I also haven't been doing my habits, this week since I've been,
what emotion since I've gotten are you ignoring?
Fear.
What were you afraid of?
Dying.
From passing out on the plane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we weren't sure what happened. So yeah, just like fear of dying.
And what, like, so tell me more about that. Like, what, how do you, how does this tie into your, tell me this, how does the fear of dying tying into your weight loss now? Like, what is it changing for you?
I think it just has been this week of not doing my habits, like kind of
so
eating.
I'm afraid I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to do my habits.
Yeah. It sounds very illogical said out loud.
Yeah. I want to know. Right. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to say these things out loud, because it's, that is going on in your head.
Mm-hmm. So
why do you not want to do your habits?
I think maybe, so I don't know if they're connected, but I think maybe, there's some like shame around regaining, this month. And so it's just kind of,
what does that have to do with your habits though? Like, so let's just say you are ashamed. Mm-hmm. Like, I will tell you what, I'm never ashamed of things, but I will tell you what I always feel. If I had gained 7 pounds in 3 weeks, you know what I would be feeling? Disappointed. What?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, if you're having, so shame would be you calling yourself names.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Disappointed would be like, shit, I can do better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to, if I'm gaining weight, you know what I really want to feel? I want to feel disappointed. I want mm-hmm. to feel, and I probably want to feel some shame.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I am bad, but because shame and fear that I'm regaining weight and disappointment that I'm not showing up how I want are clear indicators that my brain is saying you are important.
Okay.
Like, I am none of the things that I think, but when my, I always like to think about this, and tell me if this helps you at all, is anytime something's not working out for me in my life, let's say I've regained weight or something.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the kind of person that actually feels the natural default feelings so that I can do something about it. Because right. if I refuse to feel those things, I probably am not going to do my habits, because guess what? They're going to trigger more shame. They're going to trigger more stuff. If I'm not open to feeling those things, I'm also not opening myself up to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to spend time outrunning myself. And unfortunately, when you mm-hmm. outrun yourself, no calories get burned. It's all mental outrunning.
So true, tell me what favorite.
Oh, wait a minute. Your internet's jacking up.
You're the type of person I have, and then I see success.
So everything you just said, we couldn't hear you. Your internet jacked. I think you are freezing. Try turning your camera off and talking and see if that helps, because this is such a good topic.
Okay. Are you able to hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. So repeat what you just said.
So no, I was just saying, I remember you coaching someone and telling them that, like reframing their thinking that I am the type of person that I have disappointment, and then that makes me take action, and then I see success. So that's like, allow myself to feel that disappointment is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Like, this is the thing for all of you. I don't like whenever, like when you experience shame and stuff, I always like to tell myself, like, my brain is, it thinks whatever's happening is important enough to get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I, like, tell me one thought you have about your regain that's creating shame for you.
This happens every time I get to this point. I always like start to regain.
Okay. So, but where's the shame coming? So this always happens when I get to this mm-hmm. point. Always regain, and I make that mean what about me? Because that would probably be like, mm-hmm. I don't know, depressing or just like,
whoa. Yeah.
But what is the shame coming from?
It makes it mean that I am not capable of like keeping weight off.
I'm incapable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, what we want to do is what I like to do is like, if I was having a thought like I'm incapable, I would just be like, Corinne, I know you feel incapable right now and you feel ashamed. That must mean that your brain is trying to get your attention to try to refocus on something small you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I always believe for all of you that when your brain is throwing up, like this has been so helpful for me with a lot of my shitty self-esteemy type thoughts and stuff,
mm-hmm.
is to say like every one of them serves a purpose. Like my brain may talk to me like an asshole, but it's not trying to be an asshole to me. Mm-hmm. It just is like, it doesn't have any other language. I've never taught it a new language. You know, somebody probably, you know, like over the course of your lifetime, that type of inner conversation got molded and developed from all kinds of little things that happened as we grew up. And that's mm-hmm. how our inner voice got formed. So
got it.
I'm just always like, just because it talks like an asshole doesn't mean it's trying to be one. Usually what it's trying to do is alert me to something I truly want. Like if your mm-hmm. brain is telling you you're incapable of keeping your weight loss off, I think it's your brain's way of saying, I just don't want you to hurt.
Yeah.
Easy that you can do.
Mm-hmm. So that's a literal question?
Well, you don't have to answer it, but.
Oh, okay. No, I think I can. So what I did today was just like make a plan again and make it doable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been eating a certain way. So it's like, don't then put, you know, salad and, you know, smoothie all day. So I did plan for like dessert and chips, like things that I have been eating, but just making it a doable plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Like just saying like my first step is just to get back to get a comfort level with planning. If I'm going to eat these foods regularly, I want to eat them with my eyes wide open. I don't want to be eating them, you know, because I'm ignoring myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I actually want to help myself.
Yeah.
Then when I'm ready to do some level ups, I will have the planning part down. I will be already consciously eating chips. I'll already be consciously eating this stuff. And then it will be easier for me to make future changes from that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But look, can I just ask you one more time, like your fear of dying? Do you mean you were just afraid you were going to die then? Or do you now have like this idea of like, I'm dying, or like, what is going on there?
So I think, yes to dying then, like on the plane. And then yeah. I keep having these thoughts about getting back on the plane and like having that happen again, or that like something is going on that hasn't been diagnosed.
Okay.
And like, I could possibly like die at any time.
Okay. Did you go see a doctor?
I did.
Okay. What'd they say?
They said that everything, my vitals and stuff looked good. My blood work looked good. I probably just, my blood pressure just dropped really quickly, which okay. caused me to pass out.
Did they give you any strategies for flying back home? Anything
you should think about? Just basically like staying hydrated, and like if I'm going to get up to like do it slowly, things like that. Yeah.
So I don't know if this will make you feel better, but this is something that a lot of people don't know about me. I have two health conditions that mm-hmm. Are not life threatening, but you may find some peace in this.
Okay.
The first one is I have very low blood pressure to begin with. I always have. And I okay. also don't take in a lot of oxygen. I'm what they call an extremely shallow breather. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times at events and stuff, you'll see me sit. And then if I stand up, a lot of times I bend over and like, mm-hmm. you'll see me like scratch my leg. It's not because Corinne has like the ashiest legs of all time and they're itchy. It's literally because if I don't bend over, like I have to get blood back to my head or I'll black out. I've blacked out. I bit a hole in my tongue once when I blacked out.
Oh like, my goodness. Yeah.
I've blacked out many a times. Now I'm just really good about it. So one thing you can do is if it's literally just a, like, if they don't think there's any kind of health condition, just if you start feeling the least bit woozy, like bend over, it helps get that blood back to where it's supposed to be. But standing up slowly helps. Also pumping your feet before you, especially on an airplane, if you've been sitting for a while, you probably cut a lot of blood flow off. It's not super dangerous, but then when you stand up, it's like the floodgates open to your legs. And it's like, it just drains everything around from your vital areas.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. I can't even get out of bed at night unless I sit on the edge of the bed and pump my feet like 10 to 15 times. Because once I do that, then I can slowly get out of bed and I don't pass out. But I have passed out so many times. The other, I have diabetes insipidus, which is where I can drink all the water I want in the world, but I pee all of it out almost immediately.
And me too.
I don't hang on to electrolytes. So it's a double whammy. If you've got low blood pressure, plus your body doesn't hold your electrolytes well. So you may just want to, you may actually just want to, like when you get home, go to your physician and just say like, hey, I had blacked out on the plane. Like, I feel like my blood pressure is dropping to like, I just want to see, is there anything I should be doing? Like, should I be adding salt? Should I be doing anything to try to help balance out? Cause that's why, one reason why I do drink Xtend. It's got electrolytes in it. It's it helps me stay hydrated more. So,
Yeah, that definitely made me feel better. Not that like you have blacked out several times, but it's kind of like,
go ahead.
The last caller, when she was talking about like kind of normalizing, like, oh, other people experience, you know, the eating things. It's just like knowing that other people experience those things. It's like, it's not.
Yeah. And just keep in mind though, I am no medical doctor. All I'm my experience. I do want to clarify that, you know, hello lawyers.
Yeah, definitely following up with my physicians, and I have an endocrinologist and the thing. So yeah, when I get back, I'm following.
Anytime any of y'all are like blacking out and stuff like that, definitely get in with physicians. But I've been dealing with it literally since I was a kid. Like, I'm very used to it now. Like, can always say, like, he'll say days when I sweat a lot are my worst days, and when we travel a lot are my worst days. And he'll be like, you know, are you just having a low blood pressure day? And I'm like, oh yeah, because he'll see me bend over so many times, and by the end of the day I'll have like a dull headache. It's just where you're just blood rushing so much. So
yeah, okay,
well, that's good to know, though. More shame.
Yeah, thank you so much, this is very helpful.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Amy? Oh, that's good to know, Sue.
Hello.
Hey, what are we coaching on today?
I went to the doctor today, and, she wants me to monitor my blood pressure.
Okay.
Because it's high.
Okay.
The
opposite of what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Good. My mother always had high blood pressure, so I can help you.
I don't want to use this to spiral. I've been doing so good. And
so how does just monitoring your blood pressure, what are you making monitoring your blood pressure mean to where, like, now that I need to monitor my blood pressure, I'm going to spiral with food? What's going on there?
She said that it could be hereditary, which would mean that there would be nothing I could do about it.
About high blood pressure?
Yeah.
Well, why is that so upsetting? There's lots of people that take blood pressure medicine. Like, why are we so upset about this? My grandfather, who weighed like $1.50 all his life, had to take blood pressure medicine.
I feel like a failure.
How are you a failure because of high blood pressure? Like, how does those two things even go together?
Maybe I should have been taking better care of myself all these years.
How could you? Like, it wouldn't have mattered if she said it's probably hereditary. Is there some chromosome gene replacement that I don't know about that you could have gotten to fix this?
I I just have a really big fear around all medical stuff. My grandma had diabetes too, and I like talked to my mom not that long ago about it, and I was like, I'm gonna do a blood test to make sure I don't have it. And she's like, well, if you do, it would be your fault. Like,
okay, so your mom had a shitty opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, could we just think mom had a shitty opinion versus, oh my God, the doctor told me that my blood pressure is hereditary, but no, my mother's right, who has no medical degree.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. So what if it was your fault? This is kind of the same thing with like me and my loose skin. Like, it would be super easy to sit here for 15 years post losing 100 pounds and be like, and here's another day. We should just examine how it was your fault. You were so wrong. Blah, blah, blah. Like, even if it was, let's say all of it's your fault. Like, it's how you've been living and stuff. Do you want to be miserable about it? Or do you want to be like glad that you know, so that you can change and take some control over things?
Yeah, I think I just had myself convinced that if it was diabetes or if it was high blood pressure, then I can work to fix it, and maybe I can fix it. And knowing that I can't fix it, I think I wasn't
prepared for that. How do you know you can't fix your high blood pressure? How do you know 100% that you can't fix it?
If it's hereditary, but
if it's hereditary, yes. But what if your doctor's wrong? Let me just say this, Amy. What if your doctor's wrong? It's not hereditary. It was your fault. I'm going to give you both sides, because you got to find a winning lane. Because right now you're just like, I'm a loser and I'm a loser. I wonder why I feel so bad and worried about a spiral. You've only set yourself up for shit options. It's hereditary. There's nothing I can do about it. I will be on drugs the rest of my life. And for some reason, I have a fucking problem with it. I don't know why, but lots of people are on drugs their entire life for high blood pressure, and check out loving people just fine. Then you got the other side where it's like, well, if it's not hereditary, then it's all my fault. And that means my mom's right. And I must be a loser. And wah, wah, wah. Instead of like, decide like this. Do you want me to just tell you how I think about it?
Sure.
All right. And then I want you to tell me where you're at.
Okay.
If it's hereditary, that means it wasn't my fault. That's good to know. Taking a pill for high blood pressure is nothing to be ashamed over. Millions and millions of people around the world do it every single day, and they go to work and they have a great life. And thank God I live in an age where I can take a pill and not just die young. Because that's how it used to be. Before we had these miraculous pills, whether it was hereditary or your fault, you got a death sentence with hypertension. And now you just got a little pill and can live to 90. Or you can think about it this way. You know what? I think it is my fault. This is probably a great correction moment for me. This is an opportunity for me to like take better care of myself. I bet you anything, if I lose some weight and stuff, if it's not hereditary, I will be able to come off those meds. I'm going to take the meds for now, and I'm going to double down on taking care of myself. And if I can come off the meds, I'll know it's not hereditary. If I can't come off the meds, or if I can't come off the meds, I know it's hereditary. And if I can come off the meds, I'm a fucking winner.
Yeah. I'm not stopping. I've done 11 days straight of getting up at 6 in the morning and walking my dog and following my plan, and I just feel so good, and I don't want to let this change it, because it doesn't have to. It's just a conversation we had. That's it.
It actually can inspire you if you want to use it that way. Like right now you're using it as a club to beat yourself with.
Yeah.
And instead of using it as a moment to be inspired that like, I got some news and I freaked out a little bit. My mom even said some shit stuff and I've used it to stay on plan for 11 days. I've used it to like, I've kept up my habits. Of course I was scared. And now I know why I felt so bad. I was actually telling a crazy ass story. And now I've got two good options. I just got to decide, stay on track, and time will tell if it's hereditary or if it's all in my control. No matter what, you get to come out a winner. Yeah. Now what's coming up? That shouldn't make you cry harder.
I was just thinking about how I went in and talked to her about it anyway. And I'm proud of myself.
Talk to her as your mom or your doctor?
My doctor.
So you went in and you talked to her about it? Okay.
Yeah.
What did you say after that? I couldn't understand you.
I'm really proud of myself. Because I wouldn't have done that a few years ago.
So this is the kind of crying I love.
Yeah.
I love all the crying, but I totally sanction crying when you're so proud of yourself and you're so amazed that you're doing something different, that it brings all the emotion straight to the surface. That's big girl shit right there. See how, look how much you're progressing. Look, like you have no reason to worry about spiraling. When your brain wants to worry about spiraling, you need to remind it of all the things that you're doing. Like you're taking responsibility for things. You're getting coached. Like you're proud of yourself. Like you have every reason not to spiral. You have no reason to spiral. I'm so glad you raised your hand today. Seriously, I wouldn't want you sitting around the membership feeling this way.
Thank you.
I think when you get off this call, go have a really good cleansing cry. Like seriously, like just cry about let your brain run wild with anything it wants to think. And then I promise you afterwards, you'll probably feel better. Cause I've been telling everybody tears release oxytocin.
Yeah.
And I think you'll feel some relief. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Amy. So today my homework was, you know, when you leave this call, please go do a cleansing cry. And then the other day I coached someone and I was like, the second I put you back, you go work out for 10 minutes. She worked out in her dress. I loved it. I was like, oh my God. Love it when y'all take action. Debbie Conover. Debbie, where'd you go? Oh, wait, it didn't. Hang on. Here we go. I think it should be pulling you up now. There we go.
And hello.
Hey, what are we going to touch on?
Well, I have been a member for a little over 2 years. Okay. I lost 80 pounds.
Good for you.
Then shit hit the fan.
Okay.
Just a bunch of stuff. And I stopped doing the stuff.
Okay.
But my brain went to, oh my God, you gained all your weight back. And
did you gain all of it back?
No, I only gained 40 pounds back.
Okay.
My brain went
to, how dramatic our brain is.
All right. And then in February, I went, come on, you can do this. And I'm back down to where I only have 15 pounds before goal. Okay, so I've lost 30 pounds. And it's just what I told myself is I'm going to do the work this time. I'm going to do the thought work.
Perfect.
So as I'm working on this and I'm reaching out to my accountability group and I'm like, you guys have to help me catch my shit about the fear. And I did no excuses camp. And every one of my things, excuses were around fear.
Okay.
My fear of gaining the weight back. I've been doing the work.
Why are you afraid of gaining your weight back? Like you gained 40 back, now you're down 15 again. You're obviously really good.
I'm actually down 30 again, and I only have 15 to go.
Okay. So you're obviously really good at catching yourself, correcting. Why are we so afraid? It's not like if you start gaining some weight again, like you're not smart enough to know like, oh, I'm on the path back up. Let's just get back to basics.
And I know that. And that's the thing that I've been really working on. But like whenever I'm doing like the four ends, mm-hmm. I get to that last, the next best thought. Mm-hmm. It's probably after normalized. Of course, I feel this way because I have regained the weight in the past.
And that's not why you feel that way. So let's make sure we truly normalize it. Okay. It's normal to have that fear because in the past, when you've regained your weight, you've blown it mm-hmm. out of proportion.
True.
You did not like, if you treat yourself like an asshole about regaining weight, guess what? That sets you up to have to be afraid of weight gain in maintenance because you know what your brain is saying? All right, now that you've lost the weight, I've got to make sure you stay safe. So now I need to keep you afraid of any weight gain because you'll be a real asshole to yourself if you do. So I'm going to try to keep you afraid to save you from being an asshole. Except that when you jack up your cortisol enough and you live in fear, eventually you start eating to get away from that. And then your brain starts acting like an asshole because you predicted you would be an asshole.
Right. And I have been
fulfilling all the things.
And I realized that, and I've been writing every day in my plans that you already have your sleep on lock. You have your water on lock. You have done away with snacks during the day because you found that you really don't need them.
Okay.
You're not hungry when you used to eat them. I'm closing the kitchen after dinner and I've worked through all of the fear thought. So I'm trying to say, hey, you've worked on all this stuff. But that fear, I mean, and I know that that's just because it's happened.
It's that fear is not because it has happened. The okay. fear is coming up because you're not interrupting it often enough.
Right.
When it comes up, instead of getting freaked out that you're in fear, I would just relax and say, well, of course I'm afraid. In the past, I've been a jerk to myself about regains. I've blown them out of proportion. Here's what we're doing this time that's different. We know that if we have a, I'm going to tell you right now, the best thought that y'all can actually have is we've regained before and we took care of business. If we ever regain again, we'll just take care of business. Instead of you're spending a lot of energy trying to convince yourself you'll never regain again, but your brain is afraid it will happen. So now we need to give our brain certainty around if this happens again, this is how it will play out next time. It won't play out like a shit show in the past. That'll okay. make your brain relax more. It won't relax mm-hmm. overnight, but I think what's happening is you're trying to convince yourself to never be afraid instead of a regain. When we all know 1,000%, any of us can gain weight at any time for a million reasons. Sometimes it's because we, you know, like overeat and, you know, go back to old habits. You might get cancer and go on steroids and drugs that make you gain weight. You could hit like a hormone, like maybe your hormones get out of whack for 6 months and it makes you gain weight. Maybe you break a toe and the best they can do is give you steroid injections and you gain 15 pounds. It's like y'all are trying to solve the wrong problem. We're not going to convince ourselves. When our brains are in fear,
mm-hmm.
we have to address the actual fear. Your brain thinks it can regain. So rather than trying to convince it, it can't, convince it that if it does happen, I will take care of you. Because that's what it's really afraid of. If you regain, you're going to go back to feeling like shit about yourself. And we don't mm-hmm. want to feel like shit about ourselves.
No, no.
So that would be like the first phase. Now, once the fear dissipates and you really start like feeling like, okay, I'm not as afraid anymore. It's not like a paralyzing fear. Then we move on to phase two, which is I really want to keep this weight off. I want to shift into the identity of someone who won't ever have a regain again. I think y'all want to be both people. Honestly, I think you want to be the kind of person who's like, I want to be the kind of person that believes I won't regain my weight, but I also want to be the kind of person who believes that if I start regaining, I'm going to be there for myself. I'm going to figure it out. Never going to beat myself up over weight ever again. I'm mm-hmm. actually going to be the person I want to be.
Yeah.
What yeah. do you think?
I like that. I like that. Hey, you got your own back kind of a thing, you know? And I've used, how would I say it to my best friend? Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't treat her like an asshole if she started gaining weight, and that I need to start doing that for myself. Don't treat yourself like an asshole just because you put on some pounds.
So how can you not treat yourself like an asshole?
Well, a couple of the things I did, you can help me with that, is one of them that I have noticed when I regain weight is I have shame about stepping on the scale because I know that I'm regaining. So I have been.
That's not why you have shame about the scale. Regain. Yeah, I'm going to give y'all, like, this is the mic drop of the moment. Regains do not create shame.
It's my thought about the regain.
Right. Your brain is creating all of the shame. Now, a lot of our brains automatically do that because society has taught us, you know, like it is such a sin to be overweight. Like society acts like, you know, being overweight is like the scourge of the earth or something. It makes sense why we are so paranoid around it. But at the end of the day, it's not a shameful event to regain weight. It's not a shameful event to be overweight. It's not a shameful event, whatever number you are. It's like you weigh in, you get a number, and it's an opportunity to establish the relationship you want with you and your body every single time. It will also be an opportunity for you to hear the current state of affairs when it comes to the relationship with your body and yourself, but it's also the opportunity to start recreating and reshaping it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is my opportunity to change how I treat myself, no matter what I look like.
Do you know what I think you should do?
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's just the whole thing of just needing to love myself about it.
Perfect. So my idea is going to like play really well with you. Okay. You are the kind of person that I would say you need to put yourself through the gauntlet of shameful moments. Everything that you think triggers fear and shame, you should put on your plan to start doing it so that you can expedite the process of recreating the relationship with you and your body.
Yes.
Some people, I'm like, baby steps.
Right.
I don't think you're a baby steps person. Not anybody that's regained and then lost and gotten back on track. And you're so self-aware that my thoughts are causing a lot of this.
Yeah.
I think you should try to trigger the thoughts as often as you can and then rework them, journal them, retalk to yourself, prepare for the say, I'm going to get on the scale. It's probably going to set, my brain is immediately going to do this. And when it does, I'm going to take a big, deep breath. I'm going to put my hand over my heart and then I'm going to talk to myself the way I truly want to talk to myself. I would do a lot of premeditated things like that to where
I actually, before I weigh myself, I have gamified it and going, okay, so this is what I know it was yesterday. And this is what I'm going to see if I weigh today, because this is the number that would make sense to me. And when I'm doing that, I'm like, I really am pretty close every day on guessing where I am.
Okay.
And that has really reduced any anxiety about stepping on the scale. And I want to be able to keep doing that, even when I at maintenance, just kind of going, okay, what would make sense for the scale to say today? Okay. And then I journal if it doesn't make sense. You know,
That's great. You're one basically doing what I asked you to do, which I think is perfect. That's why I knew that you were the perfect specimen for this. I think what your regain and like your losses are really showing is like the only thing standing between you and your goal is the conversations that you have with yourself.
Yeah.
And as you work and double down on that, mm-hmm. you're not going to have any problems. And you'll get there feeling very differently this time. I just want you to, because you're having such paralyzing fear, it's like got a grip on you. I want you to say like, look, I'm going to teach myself to trust myself, whether I regain or not. Mm-hmm. I may or may not regain, but it's not a bad thing about me. And I'm smart enough to figure it out. So I don't need to be afraid ahead of time for this.
No. Yeah, I have found myself going, why am I scared? I have lost the weight before. When I regain, I really don't need to be afraid of this. And then I go through, you know, why is it? You know, why would this make sense? Why would my brain be saying that? And I have been trying the, I knew my brain would think that statement since camp, and that has helped.
Let me ask you this. If you did uh-huh. regain, what are you making that mean? Let's say you lose your weight again, and then 6 months later, you regain some weight. Like one thing I would definitely do though, if I was you, Deborah, is, you know, shit hit, like a lot of y'all say this, well, shit hit the fan. And of course I regained weight. So that means yeah. that there's a part of you that as we're losing weight, who's not telling ourselves, we can do this no matter what happens in life. This is how, like, yeah. I want you to go back and I want you to look at when you regain whatever shit happened. I want you to yeah. go back and I want you to say like, all right, hindsight's 2020. Here's the things that I wish I had done. Here's the mm-hmm. things that I could do differently next time, because the sad truth is, Deborah, shit's hitting the fan again at some point. If you plan to live another 30 years,
yeah.
plan on shit hitting the fan every other year at least.
Well, and my thing is that when shit is actually hitting the fan and it's spraying all over the place, I'm real focused. I don't gain weight. I'm either maintain or I lose. My thing is when I have a chance to breathe again, when the shit is done.
That's good to know. So that's so the part you need to strategize.
Yeah, yes. I need to do a reentry. And so I've been working on a reentry protocol because I just, in my family,
I would have a reentry protocol for sure. But I would also dig into why is it that when it's all over and I relax, I feel like I need to start eating? Like, it's my what comfort. Is that coming from? But it's not yeah. even comfort. It can't be comfort because no. the shit's done.
Right.
It's almost like, yeah. and I don't know, you'll have to journal on this, but it's almost mm-hmm. like when it's all over, the stress is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a state that I can manage. Why do then I decide now we should eat? This sounds like a great idea.
Right. Now that I'll journal on that.
I will tell you one thing to look for. This may not be it, but I just want to say it because some people have said, oh, this sounds like me. It could be laced in reward eating. You got
I'm sure it is.
Like you need a break. Usually like my brain.
I need a break.
It's like, you deserve a break. You have like done some bitch. I mean like, and look how little you ate through it all to boot, you know, right. Like listening for those things and then understanding, like Barb said, whoop, I'm the reward person. It's like understanding that that version of you is like now that signals that when you overcome big things, you have one way to celebrate. You have mm-hmm. one way to give back to yourself. You have one way to do the self-care after big events. We need more mm-hmm. ways so that our brain doesn't have to just say like, well, I got to go to the default. It's been a rough period. We better eat because, you know, Deborah, she don't know what else to do.
Working on it.
Well, no, and I think you cleaning up the body. Self-talk, yeah. Uh-huh. I think cleaning up the self-talk will help that too.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah.
And catching those thoughts earlier. And I feel like I'm catching the thoughts earlier. And as I said, from the No Excuses Camp, I knew my brain was going to think that.
Yes.
And then every day on my plan, I write, when I hit an obstacle, I need to remember to breathe.
Yeah.
And I've been doing a lot of meditating, breathing. I've started yoga, just things to start to calm my central system because right. I can, I can feel it throughout my whole body. And so I think that taking the trusting the body works has helped me identify those different things. So
that is amazing. No reason to ever worry about a regain. If there's anybody I've ever coached on a regain, that if you were to regain 10 pounds again, that I would be like, you know what to do. Like, we don't even have to worry about it. Like, you can just be like, it's just time to care for myself again. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I'm working on it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, y'all. What time is it? Oh yeah. I gotta go. I have, I'm telling you, the Tuesdays are the meeting day. Like, I'm just like, oh, I didn't realize we went over. Y'all, thank you so much. We will see you next month. If you did not get your question answered, you can take it to Ask Coaches. You can also take it to the Queen's Club Facebook group. You can post over there. We do have coaches that work all the groups, and you also have all your peers that can help you and stuff. Y'all have an amazing day. Bye, y'all.